What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're going to be talking about distracted parenting. What is the impact that being distracted by technology has on your family and on your kids? We're going to dive into it and what changes we've made in our lives to adjust to make sure that technology doesn't take over our relationship with our kids. We discuss the impact it's had and why we made those changes. Stick around and listen as a couple of flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad.
Hey, Graham.
Warren, hello.
How are you?
I'm happy as always.
Fantastic. That's good to hear.
I'm just a bright and happy guy. Just all the time. A
generally positive outlook on life, eh?
Yep. When you don't have to worry about anything, it's so easy.
You don't have to worry about raising your kids properly or...
No fear. Denial is just so easy when you're...
What's the saying? Ignorance is bliss?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. That's, it's the motto I try, the creed that I try to live by. Yeah.
Your credo?
Everything is fine. That meme, the classic meme with the dog, the fire burning everywhere. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it.
Isn't that essentially how you get the situation of Schrodinger's cat? You know, if you don't know a situation, like if the cat's in the box, you know, and you're wondering if the cat's alive or dead, if you open the box and the cat is dead, you killed it because, right. You know, existentially, nobody knew whether the cat was alive or dead until you opened the box. Right. Is that the same with raising kids? Like if ignorance is bliss until at such a point that you uncover something and then it's your fault because you uncovered it?
Yeah. It's like they're outside of the house, right? Mm-hmm. They are perfect angels, obviously, mm-hmm. and they come home on time. Great. Like you must have just had a great...
Until you discover otherwise, and then it's your fault that happened. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense from a parenting perspective.
Yeah. Speaking of flaws.
Yes.
Or changes, et cetera.
Yeah.
Today's topic, life, right? We always try and talk about different things that are happening within our lives. And one thing that struck me that was interesting is it's been going on about 3 weeks now, at least that I can remember, is one big change that instigated, I'm going to say by your wife more so, or perhaps your kid's influence from everyone, is that after a certain time, and I think it was maybe 6 o'clock or 6:30 every night, you, and I don't know whether it's specific just to you or not, but at least you for sure, cannot look at your phone from here there on out.
Yeah.
I'm interested to talk about that.
Yeah. It was a big change for me, in not having constant attention going to the phone, you know, because of work and all that sort of stuff. I was usually on my phone throughout the evening. And even if we were sitting down and watching a TV show as a family, I'd have my phone out and I'd be doing something on it, emails or social media or whatever it may be. And this came about because one of the girls went to Rachel, and it bothered Rachel too, but it really bothered her when one of the girls complained about it. And they said, you know, daddy's never paying attention when we're doing something as a family because he's always on his phone. And so that came as a part of our counseling with the mediator, that came up and we had to come up with a solution for it. And so for us, it was between 6 o'clock and when the girls go to bed, it is family time only. The phone is to be put away. No laptop, no nothing, unless it is a absolute necessity for work. Otherwise, my technology access, you know, personal technology access is gone between 6 and bedtime. And it made a huge difference.
That's obviously great to hear. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. Is it just you or is it
just
across
me.
The board?
Well, the girls aren't allowed to use technology during that time either. Like their own, like a laptop or a phone or anything like that. It's family activity time during that. But I was the worst perpetrator of it by far.
Right. And I can understand how it'd be easy to justify it, as it were. I mean, as for any business owners out there, you feel like there isn't really much of a downtime. You're sort of always, there's always something to do. And while this is a, maybe a bit of a moment, why not work through some of this stuff? So I have less to do later.
The problem is there's never less to do.
Right.
There's always stuff that you find, whether it's, you know, maybe the responding dissipates because you've taken care of those responses, but then you feel like I should be doing something proactive. I should be doing engagement or something from a marketing perspective or whatever it may be. I always feel like there's something more I could be doing. So whether I'm taking care of everything, then I just pile more stuff onto my own plate.
Yeah.
And so it really took me taking a step back. And so in going through this, discovered the terminology distracted parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And doing some research, uncovered some of the big dangers of distracted parenting and how it can impact your kids. And based on that, you and I came up with the idea of having this conversation.
Is there such a thing as distracted pooping? Because I do that quite often.
Every time.
I'm gonna say, yeah.
Do you ever go in now and you realize you've forgotten your phone? Like, do you, on your way in, I have a number of times, really having to go, turn around to go get my phone because there's no way I'm going in there to sit down without it.
Yeah. No, I have not had that moment because I've always had it. It's always a pre-check.
Like when you feel the need to go, you check your pockets. Oh, yeah. Got the phone. I'm okay just, now. I'm
yeah,
okay
we're now. We're all signs are go. Yeah. We're able to proceed here and move on.
The countdown begins.
But even just on that, joking aside, there's no question that I am far less efficient with that goddamn phone than if I were just to, handle my business and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
And much the same, I'm sure, as it goes with parenting and everything else. Have you noticed anything as a drop off from your overall quote unquote productivity for things? Or is it like, hey, I haven't missed a single thing?
Maybe a little bit. Not from a response perspective, but from a proactivity perspective. I probably haven't been as proactive. Has it affected my business or any of those sorts of things? No, not in any way.
So overall,
I say, yeah, it hasn't had a negative impact on me. It's only had positive impact on my relationship with my kids because they don't complain about me sitting on the phone anymore. They enjoy us watching a show, even if they want to watch the stupidest shows. I will sit and engage with that show, like the Masked Singer. I can't do it.
It
drives me nuts, but the girls love it. And so phone goes away. I sit there and I watch the show with them.
They love that you cannot stand it, or they love the show.
No, they're not masochists. They really enjoy the show,
but
it's not they're getting off on my pain.
I mean, this is the part I think where I know I'm interested to hear the insights from this side, because for me, if I'm watching something absolutely waste of a time for me in terms of life and watching a show, there's not really any bonding per se that I would say that happens, unless are you actively talking?
Yeah.
And now that you're present more, you're like, well, this guy, like you're just being parenting or Warren vocalizing to the show of how horrible it is. And this,
I try not to do that because I know how much the girls enjoy it. So I try to rather engage with them on a level about the show. Like, oh, who do you think it is? What do you think about what Ken Jeong just said? Those sorts of things, right?
Okay.
Trying to actually draw myself into it, even though I really detest the show. But you know,
I suppose
one of our
there
major
is a
question
singer.
is what do you hate to do but do anyways for your kids?
Yeah.
Watch Masked Singer. That's mine. Yeah.
I suppose game shows or other things like that. Related, like rather than a sitcom per se, it does present an opportunity for a lot more discussion throughout it, like Survivor or something. I haven't watched that in forever, but I'm thinking shows like that where it's at least there's some downtime,
yeah,
in essence, that you can actually speak up. It's not like dialogue. No, everyone be quiet. I have to listen to this in order for it to make sense. It's like, I can start talking right now and I'm not going to miss a darn thing.
Yeah. The shows like The Voice and that kind of stuff are really good for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, The Voice I enjoy. And so we watch that quite a bit too. And then they like, you know, Ellen's Game of Games and those sorts of things. So,
Games of Games include just chastising people and becoming a horrible workplace?
I can kind of imagine that it would be what the employees go through. So yeah, getting dropped down a hole and, you know, hit with things and, yeah, that would, it seems about right.
Yep. That's probably, you know, an article will come out. That's where the concept of the show probably came about because of the backstage. Yeah.
So let's get back on track here.
This is not on track.
Distracted parenting.
Speaking of distracted.
What did you uncover were some of the dangers of distracted parenting?
So there, one of the things that at least is noted is that it hurts social development.
Okay.
And I would imagine this is all stemming from just that you're an example, right? Parents as overall are the, until kids are whatever time they move out, you are the example, the main force in guiding them in terms of what to do and what not to do. And if you are the one that's in front of your phone or device or not being actively present in conversations, et cetera, then that will have some type of social development of that, right? Not teaching them about the simple things of like eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know... trying to talk to my daughter if she is doing anything other than looking straight at me.
Yeah.
Even then, sometimes it's a challenge. You could just see the gloss over, like the checkout. Even I'm looking at you, but now I'm not here anymore. Like I departed the building. but there's no question that eye contact has a huge impact in terms of them actually remembering what the heck you're saying. Well, remembering is maybe a stretch, at least listening to what you're saying. and teaching people that that much more is a pretty big important factor. And it's one thing that I definitely have not been the best at all the time, right?
Right.
And what we talked about in a previous podcast as well, even just yelling at them or asking to do something, right? And you get more and more frustrated that they're not particularly listening to you. Well, it changes the environment. If you go and actually stand in front of them and look at them in the eye, you get a lot more results.
Yeah. I was walking out the door the other day, headed to, I can't remember, probably grocery store or something like that. And the three girls are sitting on the couch watching a show. And, you know, as I'm leaving the house, I said, "Bye, girls." And no response. "Bye, girls." No response. "Girls." And one head pops up. I'm like, "I'm leaving." "Oh yeah. Okay." And right back to the show. It's like, what the hell? Like, I love you too.
Yeah, that's right. Great. Your leaving is not nearly as important as this show right now, Dad.
Exactly right. You know,
I will see you later. This show may not be here.
It's Netflix. It's definitely there later. Yeah.
That Netflix algorithm, sometimes you get seasons just disappear all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You have no idea where it went. So
that's right.
You could argue. You never know, Dad. You never know.
I was reading a little bit here from a study from the Boston Medical Center that was published in the journal Pediatrics. It says that they found that when parents were distracted by technology, they were more likely to respond harshly to children's behavior. So while some children appeared to accept the parents' inattention, others displayed escalating misbehavior and the parents who kept their gazes primarily on their devices were most likely to respond harshly to their kids. And so, you know, it's not just the kids that are facing the impact of it. It's the adults are changing their behavior because they're distracted. So much like when we were chatting about technology and our kids, and I said that after too much time on YouTube, like the girl's attitude just changes, right? What Boston Medical Center is saying is that that's true with adults as well, is that the more screen time we're spending, the more negative our interactions with our kids are because of how harshly we treat them.
That is, I mean, and I think anecdotally, right? If you look, you think about it, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But until you really talk about things, until you really figure it out, it's one of those things that you don't realize. I know I'd still look at my phone, of course, as everyone really does. I remember back when it might've been just before a second daughter was born, but mm-hmm. I remember I was actively involved with watching and just sports in general, right? I enjoy sports and the scores and what happened here and news of what's upcoming, etc. And I would be spending a lot of time with the sports apps on my phone looking at different things, etc. And there was no confrontation at this point in time at all, but it was just a self-evaluation. I'm like, what is it that I'm doing here? You know, like I enjoy it, but at the same time, am I really going to miss it too much when I don't know. Let's see. And so I deleted the app.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I haven't actually really watched sports ever since. I've compressed my sports watching now, like NFL, for instance. I still enjoy watching that. I pull up a YouTube channel and, mm-hmm. and they have the highlights of it. And so in 30 minutes or something like that, when I'm participating, my bathroom breaks, I'm able to watch like 10 games, right, in all the highlights and get a pretty good idea, way more than just watching one game. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's certainly a lot of the highlights and you get a good idea of it. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to the fact that there's really not a whole bunch that goes on in an NFL game. Mm-hmm. And if you just clip just the plays, you could watch a whole lot of NFL.
Yeah. In about 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to your point, I didn't really miss it. And what did I do with that time? Well, you know, you can put it towards other things, hopefully spending some time with your kids and getting that way.
What is your, I don't know if you know this offhand, what's your screen time per day? Like how much time do you spend on your phone on a daily basis? I'm going to guess it's substantially less than mine.
That is an interesting question. I assume it's somewhere on screen time. Okay. Well, I mean, it's not, well, I don't know, 3 hours. That's what it said. Daily average.
So it is significantly less than mine. Mine's 7 hours is my daily average of screen time.
That's interesting. Hey, down 8% from last week. I have no, that'll be very interesting. And that should be a poll that we're going to ask across groups. Is like 3 hours. When I look at that, I think, damn, 3 hours, that still seems like that's a lot of time, right? Yeah. Of the waking time of hours. Now, again, probably an hour of that is me sitting on the toilet. You know, it's not insignificant.
It doesn't describe that to you.
I wish, boy, yeah. If you could get that data, you know, the tracking. but to me, that seems like a lot as well. When I look at that, and 7 hours, what do you think of that when you see that pure number?
That's terrifying, and that's with not being able to touch my phone between 6 and 9.
Right.
Right. Now, having said that, I rarely, if ever, watch TV.
Right.
Right. I would rather watch things on my phone, or I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm driving, which is a big one.
Does that factor in the screen time?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
A huge portion is Spotify for podcasts and Audible for audiobooks. But YouTube is nearly a third of my consumption time. And then productivity apps is another third.
Yeah, YouTube's up there. Reddit's up there for me. Safari.
So I would definitely be guilty of distracted parenting.
Right.
And reading some of these things that some of these studies and stuff are saying is a little terrifying. You know, I'm like, we had this conversation in the other episode about restricting or controlling kids' screen time. And then in this, it says it can set an example for technology use in responsible ways. You know, by modeling what your kids should be doing with technology. And clearly I am not modeling it appropriately.
Now, one thing you probably have modeled for a long time, and it's one thing that we do as well, for the most part, is there's no screen time at all, like no phones present during meals.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's one thing not. That you are very diligent on as well is family meal time, dinner time, basically almost every night, especially pandemic times. I would think it's probably every night. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen just naturally. But, no phones during that time. And I'm
no phones, no TV, no nothing. It's sitting around the dinner table and we try to do it every night.
Yeah.
The only time where there's really an exception to that is if, either Rach or I are not there for dinner, then the girls will usually sit at the breakfast bar and they'll eat there, while I'm getting something done. Right. But, we really do try to ensure that dinner time is a family thing with no technology.
You know, every now and then we will have like a family, call it dinner night, a dinner movie night, where we'll sit and watch a movie while we're eating. Right. Now, most of the time it's Vanessa and I eating and the two kids not eating, and then us reminding them to eat or we're going to turn the show off. it's not the most effective, but it does happen every now and then.
So I was reading an article from The Atlantic, and I think this is interesting with regards to what we're missing out on when we're distracted as parents. So it says child development experts have different names for the dyadic signaling system between adult and child, which and builds dyadic, the basic please? Architecture of the brain. I believe it's like the conversation sort of thing. So a pediatrician and director of Harvard Center on the Developing Child calls it serve and return style of communication. So when you're actually having a conversation with them, and describes a conversational duet. So the vocal patterns that parents everywhere tend to adopt during exchanges with infants and toddlers are marked by higher pitched tones, simplified grammar, and engaged or exaggerated enthusiasm. Though it's annoying to adults, babies can't get enough of it. Not only that, but a study showed that infants exposed to the interactive, emotionally responsive speech style at 11 months and 14 months knew twice as many words at age two as those who weren't exposed to it. So, and wow. this is something that carries on throughout life, is that by modeling and having those conversations, that conversational duet with your kids leads to a lot of benefits. And you can't do that when you're distracted and utilizing TV. Like devices, because they're only one way, there's no conversational or back and forth serve and return style interaction. Yeah. They miss out on all kinds of brain development and brain architecture.
Interesting. I remember talking to a parent or someone a while ago, what they would do is, and that was a great idea, it was after sort of baby development phase, but anyone that has babies, is when you're talking to someone on the phone, right? And you are around with your baby. If you put the baby on your lap and then put the phone on speaker and basically look at the baby as you're talking to this other person behind it. Granted, okay. It's not serve and return, but it is like you're looking into their eyes and basically talking to them just to get all of these different words. Because that's one thing I remember reading about. You talk to your baby, get a, you know, conversation as much going as possible. And sometimes it's difficult to come up with different things that you're doing, right? But this is a way that you're actively looking at them and putting it, or start a podcast.
Yeah.
Put your baby on your lap as you're starting a podcast, you know, another hack out there. but it's an interesting point as well.
So one of the things in this dangers of distracted parenting sort of area is that not paying attention to your kids can be a self-esteem and confidence killer for your child.
Right.
So when you're not engaging with them, you're stealing the experience that proves they are worth something. Right. And it causes them not only for their self-esteem and confidence to suffer, but you miss out on being present in the moments that really matter. Right. And so I think making sure that you are setting aside the time to focus on those moments is incredibly important.
I think it's also a good point to almost be deliberate and explain what it is that you or anyone are doing. Like, I'm putting my phone away to spend some time and vocalizing it that much more as well, just as a lesson learned. Clearly there's something to be modeled just from not having it around. Mm-hmm. But by speaking and vocalizing your intention behind something or other, I think is powerful as well. I know, like, desserts or something, just being acknowledging, there's a word that I try to avoid using. It sounds very, I don't know what the word is, but just being, letting everyone know, like, hey, wasn't this a great thing? Or having a dessert at lunchtime, mm-hmm. right? Like, wow, isn't this a really
gratitude
special treat that we're having, right? Just being aware that because inevitably, if you have a dessert at lunchtime, then dinner time rolls around and they're like, hey, can I have a dessert? And you're like, well, you had one. And it's a bit upset. But mm-hmm. if you make more of a deal about, hey, like, this is what we're doing right now, I think it serves, there's less of a dispute later potentially, because like, oh yeah, I remember that being a great activity.
Yeah. So I totally agree. I think making a big deal of those sorts of things, it reinforces the reward for sure. And it removes the everyday commonness of that, of that instance, right?
I'm just thinking of the same, you know, the podcast that we talked about cleaning the room.
Yeah.
And one of the good comments from, was it the Social Dad?
Superhero Dad Alliance.
Thank you. Was just vocalizing how good they felt after cleaning the room or something or other. And I think it's interesting. It's something to maybe just be aware of across the board is essentially just vocalizing what it is that you're potentially thinking or feeling or doing, et cetera. Because there's so many things that we do as humans that go potentially unnoticed.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a potentially good lesson learned of, hey, back to, hey, this episode is all about pooping. And so go like, hey, everyone, like, I wiped until there were no streaks in my bum, like, hurrah for me. Maybe you could do that too, children. Cause I know that's a problem in our house.
Just don't do that when guests are over. Is that the message?
Hey, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this in podcast. So no, yeah. I'm doing the rest of the board.
So, you know, speaking of giving an example of what parents could do. So I mentioned that, you know, in my house, 6 o'clock onwards, technology, you know, is pretty much gone. Unless it's something we're doing as a family. What is, and obviously you have a lower screen time than I do. What is it that you're doing that is helping you to be a non-distracted parent? Like, what are some other tips and tricks that you think the parents should know, in order to ensure that they're not distracted parenting?
Well, I think it's more what the potential dangers are of it. Is it not? I mean, I think everyone in concept, right? I feel like right now we're sort of like pitching the idea of not be distracted parents, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're trying to sell, as it were,
sure,
to ourselves to a degree as well.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking about this all trying to be better parents for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think a lot of things, it comes down to almost being in denial until you really think about it, right? Like, as I said, I had no idea what the screen time was. I don't look at the report, and I pulled it up, and to me, 3 hours is like, damn, that seems like a lot of time to me. I can't believe, you know, out of the waking hours, what is it that we're awake for? Call it 14, 15 hours of the day.
Yeah.
Right? 3 of the 15? Huh. Well, 20% of the time I'm looking at that phone, like, and for you, right? That's 50% of the time. And that's just on my phone particularly, right? That doesn't mean it's not adjusting for the things I look on my computer, because I'm on that a decent amount. Mm-hmm. And you factor all those in. And so it's just back to that denial point. It's, I don't think people realize it until you really start to have some data to support it or whatever.
Yeah, I would suggest, if you're listening to this, go and actually look at the amount of screen time that you're spending on there, and see our, like, for me, it's almost half of my waking day that I'm doing something on my phone.
And not including, as I said, the computer. I think that's where the other part is that's just on that one device.
Yeah.
And so to realize, like, oh geez, you know, some other things. Now, I mean, it's COVID as well. So there's a whole lot more. You would expect the screen time to be a lot higher because of that, because social interactions and everything is almost based on this right now.
Yeah. Now, I'm probably awake more like 18 hours a day rather than 15. But it's, I mean, 3 hours of that is commuting. That's listening to podcasts or Audible.
Right.
So half the day is just, it's just that commute. So it's certainly interesting to look at, and recognizing those dangers is important. So what's the message? Put down your phone. Is that the end message?
If you can, actually, I'm not sure. Okay. No, that's not realistic. That's absurd. To me, because we live in a world where a lot of things are required. I think it's just being recognizing that there are some things that we all do, present company included, where it's like, no, this is not at all necessary. I could be doing something else, right? Chuckling at this meme or whatever it is. yeah, it gives me some entertainment, but just, I guess, being more aware of some of the things that we're doing. And also it's, I think we talked about it before, it's the quality time aspect as well, right? Yeah. Like, what can we do? Let's really make sure that we start the clock, like have a, rather than a screen time recording, almost have like a quality time with kids aspect of it, and really try and get that. What's a reasonable amount of quality time with spouse, with friends, with kids, with all list out all the different things that might be worthwhile.
12 and a half minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And try and fill that 12 and a half minutes. I can't do any more with my kids. 12 and a half minutes is the absolute max I can go right now before I lose my mind. Maybe it is, right? Start off right. Just like everything. I find that I'm going on my soap opera box here. Overall, I think we as individuals feel like, okay, I have to go to the extreme of everything, right? I'm gonna not look at my phone the entire day. And I'm gonna do that for the next month. I'm gonna go on a cleanse. I'm gonna eat a thimble of oil for the next month, right? I'm gonna drink 19 gallons of water in this day. I'm not gonna eat any meat. I'm going to have nothing, but you know, like it's just all these
all or things, nothing culture. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm going to go full out. I'm going to lose 300 pounds in a month. I'm going to feel fantastic. And then life will just continue on as is. And I think the reality is that you starve yourself so much in those, in that example, quite literally, that after the month or the whatever the timeline goes, you're like, oh, thank goodness that's over. I'm going to absolutely consume as much of whatever it is that I've been missing so much that I almost go the opposite way, like a listing ship. I think I've mentioned that before, right? You list one way and then to compensate, list all the other way again and back and forth. And that's one thing that I've really tried to be aware of is like, no, let's just start with the smallest possible thing first, right? Can I spend quality time with my children for 1 minute, one quality, like, and good Lord, I think we should all be able to do that. Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's do that. Let's do that for the next day and start building that habit of wins and wins. And of course I'm not perfect at this stuff. No one is, but I think it's a lot easier to do that sort of stuff than to feel horrible about yourself that you weren't able to do your 30 minutes, right? But you did five. Well, good. And it, just building that habit, and presumably everything should go in. You've seen a lot of benefits. What do you think of all that high horsing there? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes total sense. I think you're way more likely to succeed and way more likely to carry it on if you target small wins and then celebrate them and then continue on from there. Then if you set some huge, ridiculous one and then fail at it. And then once you fail, you feel like, well, I can't fucking do this. So why am I even trying?
Yeah. Certainly for things that are long-term in nature, like health and kids and things like that, like short-term bursts of something or other, right? If you're trying to paint a house or something like that. Well, yeah, you go full out with that because then there's an end goal. The house is painted now. And you're good. You're finished with, right? You can relax and go back to your non-painting ways.
Yeah, exactly. So let's close it out there. So, you know, flawed parents, don't beat yourself up about your screen time, but recognize it and then start with adding quality time in with the kids. And eventually that will deduct from the amount of screen time and focus on the small wins, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Grant, for chatting with me about this. Perfect. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Make sure again to subscribe or follow the podcast. Visit us at flaweddad.com. And if you want to get a hold of us, we're on Instagram at flaweddadpodcast, or you can email us at hello@flaweddadpodcast.com. Thanks so much.
Have a good one.